Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Lord, we pray that as we listen to your word, your spirit may help us to receive it, to be filled, to go out from this place ready to tell of the good things you've done for us, to sing your praise to all and to everyone we meet. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What a story, well known to many of you, I guess, in our gospel. It's in all three of the first three, what we call the synoptic gospels. And what should we call this story and a sermon on it? We might call it the Madman Unchained. We might call it the Legion of the Damned. Very dramatic. We might call it the Gadarene Swine. I must tell you a story. When I was a young student and first studying theology in Bristol, we had a great scholar who also kept pigs. And when he came to lecture on this passage, and people would come to hear this lecture year after year, he had a slight speech impediment, which I won't attempt to reproduce, but he would say, "This morning, ladies and gentlemen, we come to one of the greatest tragedies of the New Testament." He kept pigs, the Gadarene swine, and it was a great subject of him. He had one or two other jokes too, but I won't bring those in. This story is not about the pigs. The point of the story is not about the pigs. I would choose my text as from those last verses we had read to us, because this is about the power of Jesus. The stories before are about the power of Jesus overcoming the storm on the lake. The stories afterwards about him healing a woman and her daughter. The point of this story is the power of Jesus over evil in our lives. And my text would be those last words: go home and tell people what God has done for you. Jesus had gone to Decapolis, which literally means 10 towns, and they were Greek towns in the Greek culture on the east side of the lake. That's where he got out after the storm. It wasn't a place you'd expect Jewish people to go. These Jewish towns had always been trouble to the Romans. And the historian Josephus tells us that Vespasian, the emperor, sent his general Lucius Aurelius to put down the troublesome Jews there. And he slaughtered them, thousands of them, destroyed their towns and villages in the Decapolis area. Hence the use of the word legion. There was a vicious Roman overtone to the cities of Decapolis. What on earth was Jesus Christ going there for? Wasn't he told to take the gospel first to the Jews? Well, this is a very signal text that tells us that the good news of God in Jesus is for the pagans. And at the beginning and the end of our story, we read, "We don't want you here. Could you please go away?" But Jesus went there deliberately and performed this healing miracle and this direction to share our faith. What did Jesus say? "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And here he was doing it in an extreme way, going to these notorious Decapolis towns. Archbishop Michael Ramsay, one of our very godly Anglo-Catholic, may I say, archbishops, said this, referring to God's coming to us at Jesus. He said, "We state and commend the faith only in so far as we go out and put ourselves with loving sympathy inside the doubts of the doubters, inside the questions of the questioners, inside the loneliness of those who have lost the way. This is the call of Christ. That's what Jesus did in going to these towns. He faced the demons. We could make the title, Jesus' Power Over the Evil Demons. And then he told those converted madmen, go home and tell what God has done for you. And in one of the other Gospels, the last words follow on, and the people were amazed. The people were amazed. Jesus' power over demons. What about demons? Not a word we find comfortable these days, demons. The madness and the violence that possessed that man or men, as one of the other Gospels says there were two, hiding among the tombstones. It's an awful picture. However we understand demonic power today, and some would, and call them the powers that be, the powers that are in individuals and more particularly seen in organizations and corporations. How do we face evil in society today? For there are many, legion. The power of sin and rebellion against God and Christian values, I suggest to you, is all too obvious, both individually and corporately. We could talk historically of the demon of Nazism, of the gulags of Stalin, of the demon of apartheid, of the genocide in Myanmar, of the arms sales destroying the Yemen, the demon of racism growing in our own country, the demon of knife crime, the self-harming among young women, and the suicides among young men. Where do I stop? Evil in our society. Legion. For we are many. We are to train our school teachers regarding mental illness amongst our youngest children. We are to train more people to deal with the suicides among young men. The United Nations report that 1 in 3 of British children are living in poverty. The fifth largest economy in the world, some keep saying. A shame? Demonic. The powers that be seem incapable of addressing these modern demons in our society. I began with those words, sing hallelujah to the Lord. Why? Did you hear them sung on the news in Hong Kong again and again? Because the Christians of Hong Kong decided to lead the revolt against the Chinese oppression as they saw it. Hundreds of thousands of Christians singing, sing hallelujah to the Lord. The BBC, to be honest, were confused. They didn't understand it. What was all this about? Christians? Because the media don't know what to do with Christianity in our country. We don't want it. Go away. That's our text. Not far from what's said in public society today. But Jesus came and Jesus chose to face the demons of Decapolis, a place renowned for opposition to God's people. And he brought healing to the violence and good news for all. Facing down injustice, lies, hypocrisy, with freedom, truth, and holiness and generous love is God, is Jesus calling to us in our society today? And tell me it's not needed if you dare. Come, follow me. Go home and tell of what God has done in your life. It takes courage. Imagine those madmen in the graveyard. It took courage in Hong Kong. Many may remember Tiananmen Square and the massacres of those who revolt against the Chinese government. A scholar says this breaking of the demonic spell and power is symbolic of the power of Jesus and the power we need in our lives and in our communities. And what does that mean for us today? Yes, in Romans chapter 12, St. Paul tells us, be subject to the authorities who God has put over you. Obey them and follow them all that you can. But what if the powers that be exhibit demonic aspects and forces, self-serving and idolatrous ends, dominating and oppressive policies, immoral and personal standards and lives? Sing hallelujah to the Lord. German Christians had to react under Nazism to this. We must never accept warped and self-idolizing methods, polarizing divisions, the destruction of God's creation, all these demons in the life we live. And all are redeemable, our gospel tells us, by the power of God. Where do we start? Where do we start? Sing hallelujah to the Lord was one way in Hong Kong. Jesus comes to us and to all with outstretched arms, to people who never wanted him, never ask for him, rebel against him, and behave as though they would never be interested in him anyway. You don't have to walk very far to find those attitudes. Don't want him, don't ask for him, rebel against him, and never be interested in him anyway. But in Jesus, we have a different gospel. Who speaks for God today? Who speaks for God today? 2-page article in one of our daily newspapers. What is the church saying about our current crises, whether it's political or ecological? What is the church saying about these things? Don't get involved in politics. Get on with your knitting, one minister said. What about Jesus? Did he get involved? So why was he crucified? Can we be a counterculture? Can we teach and tell a better story, a better way, because of what God has done in our lives? We claim to be Kingdom of God people and have Kingdom of God values. Are they being effective in your life, in mine, in our community? The church puts out reports and policy statements, but what do they mean in practice on our streets? Cregal, what a reputation we have. Best high street in the United Kingdom. Also voted one of the best places to live in the British Isles. But when a big issue seller is abused and told, we don't want your sort here, on this street out here, when large swathes of our population of Krakow never come through those doors and don't feel a place here. These are the demons of Krakow. What about when difficulties come? We don't know what crises may come. In the 1980s, I lived in an area where there was great poverty, particularly amongst the farming community. One of our church wardens had a tragedy. His son, a farmer, blew his brains out in the farmyard with a shotgun. Farming, the bottom fell out of it. We gathered 90 farmers to talk with our bishop about it. How are we ready to face the crises that may well come, and not just to our farming community? How can the redeeming, life-affirming and changing love of God in Jesus we read about in these gospel passages be known and shared? One scholar says, there is something challenging and new here. It is simply not possible to make Jesus some sort of patch on the threadbare areas of the church. Wow, that's a bit pointed. How do you get the gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of the men and women we live with, says Eugene Peterson? It needs to be lived in detail, on our streets, in the jobs, in the bedrooms and the kitchens, through the cancers and the divorces, with our children and our family crises. They didn't want Jesus in Decapolis. They didn't ask for him. And they told him to go away. But Jesus came and overpowered their demons and said, you, go home. Tell them what God has done for you. Some of his last words were very similar. Go, weren't they? Make disciples. I will always be with you. The whole theme of these last weeks, the power of the Holy Spirit to make that possible. That's how God grew his church. It's the same in Krakow. It's not to have some illusion that someone else will come and do this for us. We are the people we have been waiting for. Think about it. It's quite glib, but it's true. We are the people God has been waiting for. Go and tell them what God has done for you. Our church leaders are desperate how to encourage ordinary church members to do this. Jesus says, go home, tell people what God has done for you. And Matthew adds in his story, and the people were amazed. Ordinary people can do this. That's why the church grew. It was led by Mr. and Mrs. Average. Listening, loving, serving, telling. That's the point of this story. It's not about the pigs. Not even about the maniacs directly. The point is you, me, Jesus, and those outside. Are we ready to share that? It's very frightening to many of us. I'm hesitating to read some words by W.H. Auden on this theme and quoted by one of our theologians, but I will. We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in our dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die. We must not live with the illusion that someone else, something is going to happen to make things different. It's the power of Jesus in your life and mine that makes the difference. Now, perhaps this touches you rather personally, and perhaps it gives you an uneasy conscience that you wouldn't know what to say. You wouldn't know how to say what God's done in your life. Well, the Lord has to deal with you and with me and our demons. Privately, powerfully, gently, and always, always lovingly. That is the work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. This story is about the power of Jesus over the demonic forces in your life, in mine, our community, our country, and our world. And it's got to begin somewhere. With you and me. Then now, make sure you have something to share of what the Lord has done for you. Don't send him away. Though you've been to church this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we bring you ourselves just as we are. And we thank you that you came to this earth just for us. Just as we are. Warts and all, to bring your love and healing to each and every one of us. Lord, touch our lives and hearts afresh, we pray, and give us your spirit and your courage to go home and tell others what you have done for us. Lord, may they be amazed. Amen.